about that. I wasn't ready for that. You guys, I didn't have to say anything. You guys are already quiet. Well, let's go ahead and get started if you're not already in your seats. Get there now. No, I'm kidding. wanted to just say, Jay, I didn't hear the announcement, so I apologize if I'm repeating you, but we are having a chili cook-off in 2 weeks. That'll be Sunday, November 12th. Right? Is that the right date? I'm thinking Sunday, November 12th, I believe. It'll be immediately following church. But we're going to do this as fun. Let's get together, have some chili. Just make sure that once the chili processes, everyone's gone, so I don't have to deal with the after effects of that. I'm kidding. No, but we're going to have some good time. If you want to make chili, though, and be in part of a chili cook-off, please see Bonnie and just let her know that you're going to be making some chili. So far, I think Bonnie and myself and my wife are the ones signed up to do chili right now. So if you want to make some chili, what's that? Wendy's. You want to bring Wendy's chili? Okay. That would be bad if that won. Oh, my goodness. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Well, first of all, also I wanted to just say thank you again for the pastor appreciation gift and just the time that we spent a few weeks ago. I really appreciate all of you. And yes, your invitation to dinner is coming as soon as I figure out how to really use the grill. And then also thank you to Chaz and Corey for filling in the last few Sundays for myself as we were gone in Hawaii. And had a wonderful time. And as I was there in Hawaii, we met with this gentleman named Jason Verreau, and he was the worship leader of Calvary Chapel, Pastor Steve's worship leader that we prayed for earlier today. And I have to tell you, we met with the church, and we met with and saw the refuge camps, and we went to Lahaina in Maui. This was totally a God thing. My wife and I weren't expecting to go to Maui. We were going to Oahu to visit or to celebrate my sister-in-law's 30th anniversary, wedding anniversary with them. And God just kind of orchestrated for us to have a day in Maui. And so we went to Maui, and I don't know if any of you have heard and seen pictures, but Lahaina, before the fires, was an absolute beautiful city. It's about the size of Ravenna, and it set on the coastline, and was up behind it was this mountain that came down. But unfortunately now, three quarters or maybe more than that is completely destroyed of the city. I was so moved, though, as we met with the pastor, and we met with the worship leader, Jason, and we actually went and did a kanakapila. And for those that aren't up to date on Hawaiian terms, a kanakapila is a gathering of people who play ukuleles. Now, you have to say it correctly, because if you've been in Hawaii, you can't say a ukulele, because that's the American way of saying it. But in Hawaii, it's an ukulele. That's how you pronounce it. But a kanakapila is just basically where people get together and they play the ukulele. Thank you. And so what they were doing, our friend Jason, a wonderful name, by the way, but our friend Jason, who is in Maui and in Lahaina, he owned a music store in Lahaina. It was completely destroyed by the fire. And what he does is he brings together these people to play the ukulele. And then at the end of this gathering, he gives them an ukulele. And so he has given out roughly 150 ukuleles to this point. And so we were able to join with them. Yes, your pastor who was playing the ukulele. My wife plays way better than I do, by the way. But I was up there strumming the ukulele with them. But while we were there, we heard some amazing stories. Some really sad stories, to be honest with you. One of the stories that I remember that I cannot forget was there was a young lady who lived in an apartment complex, and she decided to get as many people out of the city as quickly as possible. And And so she loaded people up in the car, took them out. I'm hearing the story from her husband, by the way. And she'd rush people out, drop them off. She'd go back into the city, into the fires, and pick up more people. She did this about two or three times. And on the last trip in, she decided she was going to do one more trip because she was trying to talk her landlord into leaving Lahaina. And he was, the first few times he would not. And so the last time she finally talked him into it. So they got in a car, and as they were driving down the road, a tree fell on the car and killed the landlord owner. The young lady jumps out of her car and she has nowhere to go. Fire was completely surrounding her, and she ran through the fire. As she ran through the fire, 70% of her body had third-degree burns on it. As I was meeting with, as I was hearing this story and having this conversation, I hear her husband's voice start to crackle, and he tells me, my wife passed away last week of her burns. Now, that is, in its own right, a very sad story, but one of the things that I had heard is, not only the sad stories, there's many stories. Everybody in Lahaina has a story like that. Everyone has lost a family member in that community. And you can see by just when you walk down the streets of neighboring towns, as you walk down the streets, you can see the depthness of the sadness in their faces. And you can tell one of the big issues that they have currently right now that Pastor Chaz, you and I will be having a conversation about, but one of the biggest issues they have right now is that the drug overdose and drug use and alcohol abuse is going through the roof right now because people are trying to medicate their pain of the losses that they had. And so we had some conversations about CR. Wouldn't it be nice? You know, I need to take a mission trip to Maui to start a CR in Maui. but it's amazing to hear those stories. But I also heard great stories. Victory Chapel, the one that we prayed for today. I was speaking, Jason was telling us the story about what had happened, and he's telling us all these stories, and he goes on to say, we were feeding about 1,000 people a week, his church was. And he was explaining to us about how to do that and all that, those things. And I just assumed, wow, your church must be really large. That's the very first thing. And I asked him, I said, well, how large is your church? It must be pretty large. You're feeding, you know, all of these people. And he looks and he says, my church is about 40 to 50 people. And that stuck with me. Because here's the thing. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about Samuel, First Samuel, reading about David and facing the giants and facing the giants of their lives and doing all of those things. But one of the things that struck me is that here's a church of 50 people in the middle of Lahaina that were feeding all of these people. And I begin to think about this, and he said, Jason said a couple things when we were meeting with him. One of the things that he said is, we did a lot of ministry before, but we were forced in the ministry now. The fires forced them in to do these things. And I begin to think about this for a moment, and I begin to think about all of the ministry that we do. Just think about it for a moment. What if fire ravished, heaven forbid, fire ravished Ravenna or Woodstown or any of those places like it did Lahaina? Where would we be? What would we do? Would we be the church that would step up and begin to serve the community like it needs to be served? And as I thought about that, and as I began to grapple, I guess, a little bit with this idea, I began to think, why does it take a disaster for people to come together to do something? And I began to think about this, and my last, it's been 3 weeks now, and I was contemplating whether I wanted to share this again this week, because, you know, quite honestly, I've already shared a little bit of this message, and we've already read some of these verses, but then I began to think, well, most of you don't remember what you had for lunch yesterday, let alone what I preached 3 weeks ago, so I'm okay, including me, too, by the way. But as I begin to think about this, I begin to understand that there's something that David did that we need to understand. And this is, I want to drive this point home today, and this is the reason why I'm repeating this. Do you know David wasn't brought to the battle? He wasn't supposed to be there. David wasn't a soldier. David wasn't even skilled. David wasn't asked by, Saul did not ask for David to come. David showed up. See, the thing that I admire most about the story of David in 1 Samuel, we're going to read these verses in a moment, is that David showed up ready to fight. David showed up and said, there's something that needs to be done. And I was going to do it. And he's going to do it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start at verse 41. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with a shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give you a dead body, I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Let's pause and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the many amazing believers that you have called into action in this world around us. Father, we are in a world that we needs to be that needs to be taken by action, by your word, by your love, by your grace. And Father, may I call on our fellow Christians, may I call on ourselves, myself, and all of those that can hear and that are listening to this message, that we become men and women of Christian action. Not waiting for a tragedy like a fire, not waiting for a tragedy like war or anything else, but may we become men and women of action who take our faith on the offense, not the defense, Father, but on the offense, where we go forward, pressing forward to share our faith and to share the kingdom of God with those around us. Lord, help us to have the heart to do these things without the tragedy that has come to many places in this world, that has caused many to come to that place. Lord, we ask you that we would have a heart like David, who sees an issue, who sees what's going on, and understands what needs to be done. Help us to become like David, Father, and help us to do what needs to be done in the world around us. Lord, we pray that these words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, and that you would inspire us, that you'd remove any hindrances. Holy Spirit, come and give us the wisdom that we need to become more like you in everything that we do and say. May we glorify you, may we honor you, may we praise you now, in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Here's the question. Now, without trying to lose all the ladies in the room, there is something called offense and defense in a football field. That's offensive. Sorry, I said without losing. I'm sorry. If you know what offense and defense is, that's wonderful. Offense, you're trying to score. Defense, you're trying to keep someone from scoring, right? In the world around us, as Christians, my wife's giving me dirty looks. Maybe I deserved it. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're smiling while you give me dirty looks. I understand how that is. Okay. No. But as in the world around us, Christianity for too many people is a defensive thing. And when I mean that, what I say by that is that when the doctor's report comes back that there's some kind of disease, when there's an issue that raises up in our life, that's when we become defensive. That's when we start to go, oh, I need to pray. I need to seek my knees. I need to get down and I cry to God. Lord, help me. What happens when we're not in the defense? What happens when the issues are not there? What happens when the problems, when life is okay and where our kids are being raised and our life is okay and the bank account is all right? Are you on the offense or are you on the defense? The question has to be asked. Are you actionable or are you in a non-actionable item? What I mean by that is that too many times Christians are known by people who respond, and that's a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. I love to see Christians respond when there's a tragedy. We should. We should be the first ones that respond to tragedy. We should be there helping people out in need. We should be there when floods happen and when fires happen and when accidents happen and when deaths happen and all of this is, yes, we should be there. But why is it that too many Christians still believe that we are that kind of Christian instead of those that take Christianity on the offense? David came down to the fight to bring lunch to his brothers. That's the reason why he was there. He wasn't there for any other reason. He wasn't there to battle. But he was so offended by the current state of events and what he heard that he had to take action. When's the last time in your life that you've heard the current events of things around you? As I step on a pumpkin. I'm not kidding, see? There's a pumpkin. When's the last time in your life when you've heard something from Christianity, when in your Christian life, that you've had to take action on, that's caused you to take action? Instead of being defensive, let's be offensive. And when I say offensive, I mean not, understand, let's go on the offense. That's a better way of saying it, right? Although the word of God is offensive to those that are sinning. If you're here today and you're sinning, the word of God is probably going to be offensive to you, and what I say to you might be offensive. If I call you out as a lazy Christian, that might be offensive to you. But you know what? If the shoe fits, wear it. Sorry. The truth of the matter is that too many Christians, and I'm not just speaking to you, I'm looking at a mirror and speaking to myself too, wait for issues to arise in our life or in someone else's life to do something. How much better would it be if we would divert our attention to actually going out and winning people to Christ to help them avoid the issues in their life instead of waiting until the issues happen and then jump in and do something? How many people in Saul's army were around? I don't know the number. I should have looked this up. But I would guess there's probably several thousand of Saul's army sitting on that battlefield for weeks, days, hearing the giant speak about how the Lord is no good and how the Lord is not true and how they are lazy and bad people and all of those things. They heard this over and over and over again, and instead of standing up to the giant, they sat there and just heard it and took it. Why? Because they were people of inaction. They had to be told to go and take action. David was a man. I believe one of the biggest reasons why David is a man after God's own heart is because David was a man of action. He didn't wait. He waited for the Lord to tell him what to do, but he did, and then he went and did it. How many of us have heard the Lord tell you something, and then you step back and go, I don't know. I don't know that I want to go do that. I don't know that I want to go talk to my neighbor. I don't know what I think I'll just take the easy road out. Let's face it. If we're honest with ourselves, all of us in this room have done that. Every single one of us has taken the easy road out instead of sharing our faith with the people around us or standing up for our faith to those people around. The question that we have to ask, are you on offense or are you on defense? There's nothing wrong with being on defense. Listen, Bear Bryant used to say, defense wins championships, but offense scores the points. Defense will keep people, will keep the other team from advancing, will keep the other team from winning, will keep the other team from making ground, but offense scores the points. See, too often, we are waiting for God to prepare us for something. We are using the excuse of, I don't know enough. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. David didn't wait for God to prepare him. Do you understand that? David went to the battlefield. David was young. He was ruddy. He was handsome. But he was all of these things, right? But he was not war battle tested, if you will. He was not a soldier. But David didn't wait. He didn't wait for God. He didn't go and go, Lord, I want to ask you to prepare me for this battle. No, David saw something. See, There's nothing wrong with praying and asking God to lead and guide you, but sometimes God puts situations right before you. You don't even need to pray to do it. You just need to go and stand up for what you already know is right in the Word of God. You need to stand up for what the Word of God says. If you know anything about Christianity, there are some basic things of those foundations that you know what is right. And so start standing up for those things that's right. You don't need God to tell you where to go. If someone is saying lies and speaking the untruth, stand up to it. Why wait? Why do? I don't want to tell you not to pray, because we do need to pray. We need the power of prayer in everything we do. But sometimes our Christian faith should be common sense. Sometimes the faith that's inside of you has to be stronger than the situation around you, and you just need to go. You don't need God to direct you. You don't need God to kick you into behind. You don't need any of those things. You just need to do it. Just do it. That's right. Too often as Christians, though, we're waiting for God to prepare us. We're waiting for God to bless us with the money, the ability, the wisdom. We want everything to be perfect. We want every step to be perfect. You know what? Faith was never intended to be perfect, except for Jesus Christ. Our faith in following Jesus was never intended to be have everything absolute in order. You know what God says? God says, be willing to take that step. And when I take that step, if I would step down off this platform onto that floor, I have the faith that the floor is going to be there. Why? Because I can see it, right? Our faith in Jesus should be just the same. Our faith in God should just be the same. We don't need God to prepare us, and we need to be people who are of action, who are ready to go. Yes, God will prepare you, but sometimes that preparation comes by our action, by us doing these things. David became a great warrior. You know why? Because he wasn't afraid to battle the giants in his life. I love this story. When I was when we were flying, I was reading and watching a movie, and I came across the story of this gentleman by name of Leo Major. Anyone ever hear the story of Leo Major in World War II? He was a Canadian soldier. And upon arriving at the outskirts of the city of Zowel, I believe that's how you pronounce it, Zowolle, Leo volunteered with a friend, Corporal Willie Arsenault, to conduct a reconnaissance. Let's try that. There's a difference between a reconnaissance and a renaissance, right? A reconnaissance mission, during which Arsenault was killed by German fire. So they were going down to the city of Zwell, and they were going to look and see what's happening in the city. They wanted to see how many soldiers are there, what kind of protection it was, and all of those things. Well, upon approaching the city, his friend, his co-soldier that was with him, was shot. Grieving and enraged, Leo Major decided that he was going to launch a counterattack on the city as well. Now, here's the problem. What I didn't tell you is that just 2 weeks prior to this attack, Leo Major actually fractured his back. And so he's stumbling, he's hurt, but he's going into the city. When his friend is killed, he becomes enraged with this. Armed with a machine gun and grenades, Leo Major attacks the city as well on his own. His advance was so powerful that the Germans thought they were under attack by the whole Canadian army. And they fled the city. The very next morning, the Allies rush into the city to take over the city as well, only to find it completely empty, and it was easily taken without firing one shot. Why? Because that night, Leo Major ended up shooting over 150 German soldiers on his own. He completely took over the whole entire city on his own, armed with just a machine gun and hand grenades. Leo didn't wait for the Allied forces to come and back him up. He didn't wait for those people to be with him. He didn't wait for his army to tell him, or his major to tell him to go. He went on his own. He went on the offense. And because he went on the offense, the city as well was completely freed from German occupation. And he did it on his own. See, the question that we ask is, why are we waiting? Why are you waiting today? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the perfect situation? Are you waiting for everything to be ordained and everything to be beautifully placed before you so that you can, are you waiting for the assurance that you're going to be successful? Are you waiting for the assurance that you're going to win? What are you waiting for? The question that we all have to ask in this room is, why does it take an act of God, and I do mean that purposely, an act of God for us to move in for our Christian faith? Why? Why don't we serve our communities? Why don't we help our neighbors? Why don't we love our neighbors? Why don't we share our faith with the people around us? Why don't we do all these things? Why don't we go on the offense instead of being on the defense? Listen, I'm tired of watching the devil be on the offense and Christians being on the defense. It's time for Christians to turn and start going on the offense. After all, we serve the God who created this whole world. We serve the God who has the power and the authority to overcome any defense that comes against us. And so why don't we turn and become like Leo Major and attack the places that need to be attacked? It's time for us as Christians to go on the offense. Let's stop waiting for a disaster. Let's stop waiting for all of these things. Why don't we start meeting the needs now? Why do we wait for someone to come and say, hey, I need your help? Why don't we just go and assume people need help? Why don't we go and share our faith with people because they need to hear it? Why do we have to wait for all of these things? Why do we have to wait for the church to organize an outreach? Why do we have to wait for the schools to call and say, we need help? Why don't we just become those people who are on an offense and start doing the things that God called us to do? After all, I mean, listen, even the basic Christian, I know you may be here today and you may be asking, well, I don't know what to do. Well, then pick up your Bible and open it up, because God gave you very clear options and very clear directions on what to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a perfect place to start, right? Start loving your neighbor. Start loving the people around you. Start sharing with them. Start doing the things that you're supposed to do. Start doing something. The problem of it is that Christians become this people that are just waiting for the disasters to happen so that we can respond. We become like the Red Cross. The Red Cross is a wonderful organization. I have nothing wrong with that. But you know what? They only respond to situations. They don't go into situations. They wait until a disaster happens, and they go into those situations. There's nothing wrong with that, but how about us as Christians being people who are going to respond now, before there's a need? Why don't we go and do those things? Why are we waiting? What are we waiting for? Verse 48 says, 1 Samuel 17 says, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. Let me pause there just for a moment and tell you that David did not wait. Even in the midst of the battle. See, how many times do we get, listen, and I'm, excuse me, I'm preaching to myself here because I've done this. I get so, listen, there's sometimes during the week, I'll have my music, you can ask, my wife will tell you, I'll have my music turned up really, really loud. And man, I could run through a wall sometimes, listen to like NF or some Christian music or something like that. And I get so pumped up and I'm just ready to go, right? I'm ready to go. And then all of a sudden, boom, the situation is faced before me. Oh, wait, take a step back. David not only said that he was going to take care of the giant, but you know what? When the battle came, guess what? He didn't back away. He didn't shrink away. He didn't wait. He didn't go, oh, I don't have enough skills. I don't have enough swords. I don't have enough armor. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. No, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near, David ran quickly towards the giant. See, the truth of the matter is that we need a lot of Christians who are willing to run quickly towards the giants in their life. We need a lot of Christians who are saying, I'm tired of all of this stuff. I'm tired of the inaction. I'm tired of the laziness. I'm tired of the giants controlling my life. I'm tired of all of these things. And so I'm running after those giants. I'm running and I'm quickly going to do it, and I'm going to succeed because God is on my side. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank. Is that the right? Is that, that's okay. Sank into his, well, it's the Bible, so it has to be good, right, Jay? What am I to, who am I to question the English of the Bible? You know, I'm the last one that should be doing it. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. Why do we wait? I know I've said this and I've repeated this several times today, but why are we waiting for the right tools? Why are we waiting for the money? Why are we waiting for the people? Why are you waiting? Do you need me to tell you as a pastor? Listen, there's thousands of opportunities right here in our midst for you to go out and do something. I can give you a whole list. If you need that list, I can give that list to you. But I guarantee you, in your own little neighborhood right now, there's people across the street from you. There's people right next to you. There's people in your family. There's people everywhere around you that need help right now. And all you have to do is start moving. Some of you may say, I don't have the ability to. You have a voice. You all walked into this room today. Some of us can do other things. Sure, some of us can't lift stone. Some of us can't clean up fire and do those types of things. But there's others that have a voice. You have a voice that can encourage people. You have a mind that can share with people. You may say, oh, I'm so busy. You don't understand my schedule. Yeah, I understand your schedule. I understand you're busy, but that's all an excuse. You know why? Because I believe God will necessarily bring the busyness into your life so that you're placed in the position that you need to be placed so that you can do the work that he has called you to do. That's right. You tell me. David decided to go into action with a slingshot and a stone. He didn't wait for the machine guns. He didn't wait for the army. He didn't wait for the swords. He didn't wait for the armor. He didn't wait for any of those things. He took what God had given him right then and there and went into battle. Do you understand that? How many of you in this room are waiting right now for God to give you something so that you'll move forward? I'm asking that sufficient. Thank you. That's the way I'm asking. But honestly, how many of us are waiting right here? How many of you are waiting for the perfect situation? You're waiting for the right tools. You're waiting for the very things that you need, that you think you need to defeat the giants in your life, to do the things that God has called you to do. We all have been given a direction from God. It starts with understanding this. The very first thing that you have to understand is that God has given every single one of you in this room right here, right now, a direction. He has given you a calling. He has given you a purpose. He's given you a plan. There's no way around this. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you have a plan and a purpose and a direction in your life. It may not be, hey, Jason, I want you to, maybe not be a specific, but God has given you a plan. He's giving you a specific direction too. Meet the needs of the people around you. Serve the widows. Serve the youth. Yeah. Serve the people in need. Serve all of those things. God has given you a direction. God has told you, go and love your neighbor. Go and love the people around you. Go and love your family. Go and love those things. Go and do those things. God has given you a specific purpose and plan. And now the question is, what are you doing with it? Are you just sitting there waiting for the perfect, yeah, you know what, God, I know you give me this perfect plan, but I'm going to just sit here and... If you're waiting for the perfect pastor, guess what? You've come to the wrong church. I'm going to use what I have right now. I'm going to use what God has given me. God has given you every single thing that you need right now. All you have to do is reach into your pockets and pull out those stones. I'll say that in a different way. Pull out that slingshot and use what God has given you right here, right now, to do it. What are we waiting for? Why? Are you waiting for an invitation? Are you waiting for God to write it on the walls? Are you waiting for God to come and stand before you and say, do this? Are you waiting? God has already told you to do it. God has already... Sometimes I wonder if God gets tired of repeating himself. Not that I think he does, but I believe that, come on. I know for myself, I hear all the time, come on, Jason, I've already told you what to do. Why do I need to tell you again? Yeah, right. See, we have to have faith in God, not things. Sometimes God doesn't give us the tools we need or prepare us for the battle because he wants our faith. See, too often what God wants is the faith that's inside of you already. And if he gave you the perfect situation, if he gave you the army behind you, if he gave you the submachine guns or the grenades or the bombs or any of those things, would it be then faith in him? Or would it be faith in those things? If God gave you all of the money that you ever needed in the world right now to do all of the things that you have in your mind to do, would you have faith in him or would you have faith in that money? I guarantee you it would be faith in the money. Go talk to the people that have won large sums of money in some way or another. You know what happens? 75 to 80% of those people that win large sums of money, either in the lottery or are gifted money or those types of things, become bankrupt within 4 or 5 years. I used to say, try me, God, right? The truth of the matter is that our faith isn't in God when we have, our faith is in the things that he gives to us. See, the problem that too many of us as Christians have is that we've learned to have faith in the things that God has given us and not have faith in the God who gives those things to us. We're waiting for God to give us all of the things. We're waiting for God to give us all of those things instead of saying, no, I have faith. David didn't wait. He had faith in God, and that's the only thing he needed. I think David, even if he didn't have the slingshot and the stones, would have went into that battle anyway with his fists. Because he knew God. He had such a desire in his heart to serve God that he didn't care what he had. He didn't care about the tools. He didn't care about all of those things. He didn't care about any of those things. And he wasn't waiting for the right situation. He was going and he was going now. And no one was going to stop him. His brother tried to stop him. The other people in the army tried to stop him. Saul, the king himself, tried to stop him. David would not be stopped, but he went into that battle. It requires faith in God. It requires us to be on the offense. Faith requires us to be men and ladies of action. I don't want to be a negative Nancy here. But literally, the world around us is going to hell quickly. Listen, it doesn't take long. I know I haven't been up here for 3 weeks, and there's been a lot of things that happened in the last 3 weeks. I mean, look towards what's happening in the Middle East right now in Israel. If that's not a prophetic sign, I don't know what is. Scripture tells us that these things are going to happen, that the world is going to turn against Israel. And it has. Scripture tells us that there's going to be mistrust and war and those types of things. Do you understand that we are on the brink of World War III? It's not going to take much. The world is a tinderbox right now, and it's about ready to explode. If you ever needed a time or a place to go forward, this is it now. God is calling you to go forward. God is calling you. He wants your faith in him. He doesn't want you to have faith in the tools or the money or anything that he gives you. He wants your faith in him, and he wants you to move on that faith. So my question to you is this. Every Sunday, I stand up here and I beg for you to do something. I beg for myself to do something. I try to come up with ideas. We do things like Habitat, food bags, Christmas store ideas, all of those things. You know what? All of those ideas are done because we want to be a church of action. I want to be a pastor of action. I want us as a congregation to be a congregation of action. I want us to move forward and do those things. Those are just ideas that I'm trying to encourage you all to become a people of action. The truth of the matter is that none of those really matter as much as what God has called you to do. God has called each and every one of you in this room to actually take part in your faith, to actually be an honest-to-goodness follower of Jesus Christ that moves forward and that shares your faith with the people around them. Saul's army sat there for weeks and did not move. Even when David went forth. You know, even when David went to face the giant, where was Saul's army? Saul's army didn't come behind him. They were like, we'll wait to see this young man, see what happens to him, right? Why? Because they weren't going to face a giant. Of course, Scripture tells us that as soon as David killed the giant, guess what they did? They went charging. And they totally annihilated the Philistines. We often use the excuse of, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go. The truth of the matter is, as Christians, we have to be men and ladies who already know what to do. We've already been told, listen, pick up your Bible and read it. It tells you exactly what to do. And until we start doing those things, the world around us is going to continue going down the path that it has been, because we need Christians who are no longer defensive. Why is it that we can't be men and lady of actions now? Why do we need a tragedy? Why do we need those things to come up? See, one day you're not going to have a choice. One day you're not going to have an opportunity. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. One day you're going to be forced into action, because one day someone's going to come to your household with a gun and say, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And you're going to have to choose at that moment in time. They're going to come and tell you, you need, in order to have any groceries, in order to have any cash, in order to do anything, you have to take the mark of the beast. Someday that's coming to this place. My fear is that too many Christians have already lived in this lackadaisical lifestyle where they haven't chosen to move forward, haven't chosen to be men or women of action, that it'll be easy for them to say, nah, I'll take the mark. Bring it on. Because we're not men and women of action. See, Jesus was loving, yes. I want to make sure you understand something here. Jesus is the most loving person that's ever been on this earth. It's amazing, his grace and his love and all of the things that he shared for us. But you know what? His Father was the most just God that ever lived. He's the only just God. Some of us need to go back and read the Old Testament and find out what God did to those people that disobeyed him. Sodom and Gomorrah, for example. Look what happened to them. Jesus is loving, yes, but guess what? God is just. And there's a time coming on this earth that we're going to have to face the music and decide which side am I on. Am I going to be on God's side, or am I going to be on Satan's side? The time's coming, and it's already, in many cases, here. Why not become men and women of action now, so that when that time comes, there's no question about it? See, I want to be such on God's side that when the devil walks in that door and says, you need to take the mark of the beast, he's going to go, nah, he's a wasted cause. I already know where he stands. I want to be known in that way, that I'm so far on God's side that if I see the giant, if I see the devil walk in, I'm going right towards him. I'm going to battle. I'm ready to go. I'm not waiting for someone to tell me. I'm not waiting for a tragedy to happen. I'm going right after him, and I'm going right now. Because I serve a God who loves me, and I know that he will protect me and that he will guide me through all things. Are you going to be a man or woman of action? Or are you going to wait for the battle to come to you? It's coming soon, but let's choose the battle now. Will you stand with me, please? I pray that one day, if a tragedy like a fire that rips through the city happened like it happened in Lahaina, that we'll already have the resources, we'll already have the people in place, we'll already be men and women of action, that people already know where to go to get help. One of the things I'm most pleased with our church is that, you know, the other day we walked in to deliver food bags to the school, And I wish Lena was in here because she could vouch for me. But as I walked into the school, the counselor comes up to me. She says, "Pastor Jason, I don't know who else to turn to, and you're the only one I could think of." And I said, "Well, I'm pleased that you thought of me. What do you need?" She goes, "Well, it's a weird request." She goes, "We need some feminine hygiene products." And I said, "You need what?" So she gives me this list of things of what she needs. Now, I want to tell you, my daughter's 25 years old. I don't know that in my 25 years of my daughter's life, I ever went to the store to buy these things, right? So I got on the phone and all of my family was busy. And so I'm thinking, who else can I text? I can text Lena. So I text Lena and said, "Lena, I'm sorry to ask you this, but what do I buy?" So she gave me this whole list of items, and I go into Walmart and I filled up my cart with feminine hygiene products, right? And I walked up to the register and I'm thinking, do I go through self-checkout or do I go through the other checkout? Well, I went to the person and she's checking me out. She's like, you're buying a lot of these. Are you sure you're buying the right one? I said, I don't have any clue. It's for the school. I took it back to the school, and the counselor comes up to me. She goes, "Pastor Jason, I just want to say thank you so much." She goes, "I don't really know who else to turn to get these items." She goes, "But I know I can always count on you. I can count on Passion to do that." See, that's the kind of church that we need to be. That's the kind of people that we need to be, that when they have a need, they come to us because they know that we're going to solve that need, that we're men and women of action, that we're going to go and do the things that need to be done. Even if it means going into Walmart and buying a whole bunch of feminine hygiene products. God is calling you and I to be men and women of action. And it's time that we get up and we begin to be men and women of action. We can't wait for the disasters to come. We can't wait for those things. We have to set the tone right now, right here in this place. It's time for us to set the tone, to tell the devil who he is, to go out and reach out into our communities and do the things that we need to do. We need to be the representation of Christ here in this place. The question is, can you do it? Will you do it? God is desiring for you to come and do those things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Father, we pray right here and right now in this place that you would make us men and women of action. That you would make us men and women who don't wait for the disasters, who don't wait for the things, but we become proactive in all things that we do in our faith, and that we share our faith with the people around us. And so that we begin to be known as God's people who will solve issues, who will answer problems, who will fit the need and do the things that need to be done. Let us be those types of people, Father. Forgive us for not being that way. Forgive us for falling short countless number of times. Forgive us for being lazy, Father. For letting someone else do it, or to say someone else will get it done. Help us, Father. Holy Spirit, come. Inspire. Burn rage inside of us so hotly, so intensely that we have to go out and do something, Father. Help us to be those people like David who rushed at the giant, who didn't wait for the tools, who didn't wait for the army, but he went right after the giant. Help us to go after those things in our lives, Father, today, in this place, and everywhere, and every day that we go. Lead us and guide us, Father, to be men and women of action, like David was in our lives today. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you. We ask you these things now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As Corey sings, the worship team plays, come forward if you want prayer. We'd love to pray for you about the things that are going on in your life. If you need help to feel that fire burning inside, Pastor Chaz, myself, are here to pray for you and ignite that flame. Let's worship together.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. I'm born of His Spirit, I'm washed in His blood. What He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, this is my song. Praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Question is, do we really trust in Him? Because if we trust in Him, that means that we would not question, we wouldn't back up, we wouldn't fall away, we wouldn't hide away, we wouldn't... No, instead we would go forward with strength, with power, with might. God has given you that ability. God has given you all of those things. He has given you that ability to have that faith, to have that trust, to have all of those things. And what you need to do is move forward in those ways. Let nothing hold you back. May we be like David, who rushes into the battlefield in love and grace, like Jesus, who guides us and directs us. Let's be men and women of action today. Let's be men and women who will serve God and trust in Him, regardless of what the world around us looks like,
or what's going on around us. We will have our eyes focused on Him, serving Him, and we'll move forward in the way that only He can move us forward. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the gracious love that You give to us. And even though we sin constantly, and even though we fall short constantly, You still are there, loving us and guiding us. Father, may each and every person in this room and those that are watching at home online know that You love them. You love them so powerfully, so strongly that You were willing to die on a cross for them. But that also means that You give us the authority and the power to move in this place as we serve You. Help us to have that faith and that belief that we can do whatever You call us to do, and that we would pick up the Word of God, we would open it up, and we would see that You have called each and every one of us individually to things already in that Word. May we serve the communities around us, the people that are in need around us, but most importantly, may we serve You in the faith that You give to us. We glorify You, we honor You, we praise You in this place with everything that we have, everything that we say, and everything that we do. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see you again next week. If you have any prayer requests, please feel free to continue to come forward.